June, 1862, on a summer's afternoon. I took the bus to Manbury's and she was heavy laden. Away we went along Collingwood Street, that's on the road to Bladen.
Yo, what's good, ladies and germs? Welcome to another episode of CHN Radio. It's your boy Elijah here, and I'm joined alongside the illustrious Josh. Josh, how you doing?
Oh man, what a way to introduce me. Yeah. Illustrious. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, that's good to know. Season's about to start. When this episode comes out, it will be the first day of the 2023-2024 campaign. I'm sure all the folks are lit. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I feel like usually I'm like, maybe it's, I was about to say, usually I'm more excited for the start of the season. I realize that it's more like I'm more nervous for the start of the season. And those two feelings are not the same. Like I'm happy the season started, but like it's a happiness of like, what can Newcastle achieve? Like not like a that nervous excitement of like I'm ready for the season to start and like, you know, hopefully we don't get relegated. Like that's not the energy. It's one of the first seasons where I'm like, okay, I'm just, you know, the season's about to start and we're good.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure there's no chance we're going to get relegated. Fear. I'm not fearful. Oh. Not fearful. So maybe that's not the right word. Anxious. Anxious is both good and bad. There's a little anxiety.
For this season or for years past?
For this season.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah,
I think, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, and we'll talk about it. The anxiety is, but I think that there's some good anxiety, and I think there's some bad anxiety, and I think that we've both, with teams that we follow here in the States as well, have experienced the back end of winning it all. Sometimes it gets ugly the next year, so maybe I have a little.
That is true, I guess. Yeah, I'm a Braves fan, and Braves Twitter is insufferable now. So, all right, let's hop into it. Let's not bore the people to death. Again, another episode of CHN Radio. This is episode 212. Be sure to like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. I said like and subscribe as if this is YouTube. Subscribe and rate us 5 stars. That's the proper medium for that.
Maybe we need to be on YouTube.
You're asking a lot of me, Josh. I'm not going to lie. Now you want, and you know, you can't even see my face right now, so.
You don't want to see my face.
So. All right. You heard it here first, folks. No YouTube. YouTube is not happening. but this should be a pretty action-packed episode. Josh and I are going to preview the season, and then we'll preview Saturday's match against Aston Villa, the old late slot for Newcastle, which means that it's just 9:30 for me and Josh in the morning. That'll kind of be it. So first up, we talked about a giveaway. We teased the giveaway. We now know how you can participate and win said give away stuff. That was not a sentence,
yes.
But Josh, take it away.
I figured it out. I have the one scarf. I'm going to buy uh-oh, a couple more scarves. Yeah. And I'm going to make some stickers, and I'm going to create like sticker packs and give scarves away. And all you have to do is you have to join our Coming Home Newcastle official Fantasy Premier League
Premier League Fantasy League.
That's right. And the fantasy code for that fantasy league is lowercase g s the number 4 lowercase t a z. G s 4 t a z. Get stuck in. There's like 24 people in it right now, and everyone's gonna get at least a sticker or two or three, because I am addicted to making them. And then I think the league winners will get a scarf, and then maybe I'll do something even bigger and bolder for like the number one
winner. Yeah.
Like three, maybe two and three will get a scarf, and then number one will get something else that I haven't even thought of yet that'll be grand.
I mean, the season starts tomorrow. If we get like over 150 people participating in this, I might have to get some sort of Newcastle related tattoo. It's up the stakes.
That'll be wild.
Up the stakes. Why not?
That'll be wild.
You know.
And even if you listen to this podcast after the first week, join the league anyway, because, you know, it's one of those things where you never know. Maybe you miss out on the first week of points, but maybe the first 20 people, they fall asleep at the wheel about halfway through the season. You can catch up after only missing the first week. You really can. So get in. If you miss the first week, don't worry about it. Join the league anyway. That's GS4TAZ. You could find that at the Premier League website and just find the tab for Fantasy Football League.
I'll also link it in the description. I say this and I keep forgetting to do that, but it has been tweeted out by Josh and then also by both Coming Home Newcastle accounts. So you can find that on Twitter at Coming Home NUSC or at CHN_podcast. Thank you, Josh. Women's update. You want to give us a little update-y on that?
Yeah. The Newcastle United women, they lost 4-2 to Sunderland in their final warm-up match with goals from Charlotte Potts and Becky Ferguson. Ferguson scored in the 90th plus one to pull one back. I hear that there was a charity involved, so it wasn't just a loss to Sunderland, but there was something good came of it. I didn't actually find the news myself. I just heard it word of mouth. From Pot on the Tyne. It was Pot on the Tyne. They went over it briefly as well. So give the good lads there. Grace Donnelly has been named the club captain for the season. So we're looking forward to seeing her leadership. Help lead.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make it known. I'm not looking forward to seeing her leadership.
Okay.
I just had to be controversial. I have no actual opinion on it. Oh. Yeah, no.
Oh, I was waiting for me to not know something. I was like, oh, is she a horrible? No. You were just being.
She's friends with Carly Lloyd, so I can't be associated with her.
Oh no, is she?
Oh, I'm kidding. That was another topical joke that only U.S. men's U.S. women's national team fans will get. But
yeah, I mean, I know that Carly Lloyd is problematic,
and she kind of sucks. Anyway, okay.
Your humor was flying right over my head.
It's the voice too, where like you don't even realize I'm making jokes because it sounds like I'm being completely serious. But no, I really don't like Carly Lloyd. Skips out on for a book tour, I can't respect you because one, I can't respect anyone who does a book tour. So that's first and foremost. Yeah, sorry, man. Josh.
Now I have to cancel my book tour.
Yeah. I'll come, but I'll judge you.
Last but not least, they open up their season at Kingston Park Stadium hosting Halifax. And I think that we'll just get stuck in next week with a more robust preview of the women because they do not play.
Yeah,
this
fair. Okay. A couple other things of note. The Amazon Prime docuseries for Newcastle has come out. Literally came out earlier today. An hour ago, when we were recording. Because
that's midnight East Coast time.
No, it's not midnight East Coast time. It's midnight UK time. It's been out for hours.
Oh, well, guess what I'm doing right after we're done.
It's only available in Ireland and UK and in the Nordic countries.
Well, guess what I'm not doing.
I mean, someone can prove me wrong, but I'm like, that's what the club website says, and I'm pretty sure like when it first came out that was a big talking point amongst the American Newcastle fans was that it wasn't
somebody screaming at us to get a VPN. They're like, get a VPN.
How much work that is. It's so annoying.
It's not worth it. I'll rather
same. Like, it's I'm not in a super rush, and I also like, I don't know, Well, it's whatever. Anyway, that's not important. Well, it is important to watch it if you want to watch it. I actually thought it was going to be way more about the front office, the way that it was kind of reported on before. But, I mean, it does feel like from the clips I've seen that there's a good amount of, like, Eddie Howe and, like, team stuff. So maybe it's more focused on, like, the team staff and, like, Eddie Howe and his staff and, like, how they prepare and also the ownership and, you know, maybe less so about specific players. And that's kind of what it was meant when it was teased that this was, like, not going to be, like, all or nothing, which also has, like, a player focus and all that stuff. Anyway, so that's you know, those are coming out over the next, I think the next four Fridays after this, all the other episodes will come out. So that's exciting. If you live in the UK or Ireland, a couple other things, Newcastle officially signed Valentino Livramento, which we kind of touched on before. Of course, young right back from Southampton, Newcastle actually very, deliberate in saying that he's a fullback. So we'll see if he ends up playing both sides, but again, should be a wonderful signing for Newcastle. You know, known for his time in the Chelsea Youth Academy, won Young Player of the Year, went on loan out to Southampton, and all that kind of jazz. So, should be exciting. I don't know if you have any additional thoughts. I feel like we talked about this already, but we might not have. So,
I think we just briefly touched on Livramento. I'm excited to see what he can bring. Yeah, and we had talked about the need for a fullback, you know. So it'll be interesting to see. Did is it Harrison?
He's
Ashby?
Out on loan.
Did
he's he go out on loan? Yeah, he's out on loan.
Okay.
And then speaking of loans, Garang Cole, we teased that he was going to be out on loan. He is officially out on loan, and the team that signed him, FC Volendam, Volendam maybe that might be it.
Yeah, Volendam? But, yeah, that's my new favorite. It's my new favorite Eredivisie.
Yeah, Eredivisie for sure. So best of luck to him. Eredivisie is also a better league for, you know, kind of what he needs, which is that raw development, but also some structure. And
also, it's available on ESPN Plus, so you can actually watch his progress.
Yeah, if you want to. If they don't play at the same time as Newcastle. But yeah, no. Yeah, so it should be exciting. So a lot of youth stuff going on at Newcastle, which is super duper exciting for sure, skis. And I think that's it for all of the news stuff. Unless you got anything, Josh.
No, and there's no leaks or any believable possible deals that, you know, I've seen in the last couple of days. So there's a few weeks left. Do you think that there's one more in the offing, or do you think the business is done until January?
There might be another one in the offing. One thing that's honestly been a little surprising is that after, you know, seasons of always bringing in at least one or two guys on loan, you know, in the summer, we haven't really seen this new regime, like, really bring anyone on loan. I mean, Matt Target was the only one, if I remember correctly, that has been brought on loan. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's on the cards for them. Maybe they've already grown past that stage, but it is interesting. Maybe there's one more. We just had another huge domino fall, which will have ramifications. Well, a couple. Well, Harry Kane is off to Bayern, which will have some ramifications for sure over the next couple weeks as Tottenham look to replace him. And then it looks like Moises Caicedo is on his way to Liverpool. And Chelsea got into a bit of a bidding war. So that's another domino that is fallen, like, you know, the big names that were rumored to go. So there's still some other interesting names out there, like Neymar wants to leave, Mbappe's on the move. Don't know if Newcastle are interested in any of them. I mean, I'm sure they will be linked to them. Guys like Lavia, maybe other midfield prospects that potentially were on Newcastle's radar or might be on Newcastle's radar. Like Kudus is going to Brighton. I think Lavia might be going to potentially like Chelsea or somewhere like that. So Tyler Adams apparently has a £20 million release clause that Chelsea just met. So there's a, all I'm saying is like there's a lot of dominoes that fell, and so I'm curious to see what the fallout is, and potentially Newcastle find a deal somewhere in there. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Season preview. This will be more of like just kind of our thoughts on, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to explain a season preview. Let's just start off with the roster notes. So I do want to just go through what the Premier League has. I'm assuming this is somewhat up to date. Yeah, it is. So this is the squad for so far as we know. And for our goalkeepers, there's four on the squad list right now. Nick Pope, Martin Dubravka, Loris Karius, and Mark Gillespie. So Mark is still there. I think he actually counts towards our homegrown total, so that's cool. Defenders, Kieran Trippier, Paul Dummett, Sven Botman, Fabian Scher, Jamal Lascelles, Matt Target, Emil Kraft should be making his return probably in the next couple months. Javi Manquillo still at the club. Look, I know there were some talks of him potentially leaving, so that's maybe an outgoing name to watch. Dan Byrne and then Tino Livramento. And then midfielders. Matt Ritchie is listed as a midfielder here. Ryan Fraser is technically still on the squad according to the Premier League, but as we know, his time at Newcastle is likely done. He's going to be in the U23s. That's another name to watch for like potentially leaving. Jacob Murphy, Miguel Almiron, Joe Willock, Elliot Anderson, Sean Longstaff, Bruno Guimaraes, all in there. Sandro Tonali, Lewis Miley, Harvey Barnes, and I'm pretty sure Isaac Hayden and Jeff Hendrick are technically already have moved on, so I don't know why they're still on the Premier League website. And then forwards, which I thought was interesting, they have Joelinton and Anthony Gordon as forwards alongside Callum Wilson and Alexander Isak. Off the bat, what do you kind of – I know I read those names pretty quickly, but you have a general idea, Josh, of what the squad is and what it looks like. Off the bat, like what's the kind of the first thing that sticks out to you about the squad as a whole?
Balanced.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like we're balanced. And even though maybe there are some people that were hoping for bigger signings or big splashy signings in the last 2 years, what we've seen is smart signings with players that are multi-purpose players. So you see Joelinton listed as a forward. He can play, you know, up on the left side of the line. He can play in the midfield. He's, you know, Gordon is a multi-purpose player. Trippier is all over the place. Even though he's listed as a fullback, he's multi-purpose all over the place. Like,
he's got a lot of uses. Like, he's not just a fullback. He's also our set piece specialist. He takes all the corners. And, you know, I agree with that. You know, Harvey Barnes can play on both sides. You got Tonali and Bruno Guimaraes, who both could potentially fill in as a six. Elliot Anderson plays out wide, but he also plays in the midfield. Joe Willock, same thing. You know, I would agree with that. I think, honestly, to like, not to be like a downer, but I think the first thing that stuck out to me was like, there's no third striker, which I think is cause for concern. Neither Wilson nor Isak were the healthiest last year. And, you know, I know you had a concern with Isak and, you know, I kind of brushed it aside in terms of, oh, well, you know, he hadn't really been injured before, and then he had the one longer-term injury, and it felt like the club was trying to keep him safe from getting injured worse, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, there's still that element of unknown of like, yeah, like hopefully Isak stays healthy the whole season, but we know Callum Wilson won't, and there's more games to play this season. So I would have liked to have seen another striker being brought in. I know that there's, and again, I don't know if this is Newcastle's plan. It happened a couple times during the preseason, but we did see some Anthony Gordon playing as a striker, and it's just, I would rather not have to, I would rather not have to, like, resort to Anthony Gordon being a number nine or, like, having to play a false nine system because one striker, another striker's injured, or, like, kind of even worse, you know, say Wilson's injured and we start Isak, and then you want to bring on another striker you know, maybe because you're down a goal or whatever, or and you can't really bring on another striker. You can bring on another attacking player, and, you know, that might be useful now that we have a guy like Harvey Barnes, who is a more direct attacking player. But, you know, again, it just feels weird not having three strikers in a squad. So maybe call me a traditionalist.
Yeah, it's hard. I wonder where that third striker comes from. Some of the names that we had been linked with, you know, have come and gone. You know, they've already signed with other teams. So there's got to be, you know, it's got to be, there's a fresh player out there that maybe we haven't seen, somebody in the championship. You know, I think there's probably the next, you know, Ivan Toney, or, you know, the next Ollie Watkins is somewhere in the championship waiting to be, you know, pulled in January. I mean, if that's maybe Jacob Brown at Stoke, you know, I'm thinking.
I think the first thing I think about when you're having this discussion is, like, I don't even know if, like, for a third striker, like, what is the club valuing at that position? Do they want to bring in another Chris Wood like signing that's like, let's go out and get, you know, this is an extreme example and it's not real because I don't think this person is retired, but let's go, like, there was that period where, like, a ton of just championship, like, high level championship teams and, like, bottom of the table Premier League teams were signing, like, Peter Crouch as their, like, backup striker because, like, he's done it, you know, in the championship, he's done it in the Prem. Like, you know that he knows how to at least put himself in positions to score. He's also obviously a big set piece threat, you know, that's very obvious. But, like, I think that might be the route they go. Like, I don't know if they're, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go super young, but it's like, you kind of want an experienced guy kind of leading the line, or, you know, as a third striker, because, you know, in a perfect world, Callum Wilson and Isak don't miss any games, and this is a non-concern, but, like, that's not the case. And so you have to plan for them missing games and all that kind of jazz. And so if you're planning on guys missing games, like, I don't know if you're trying to develop anyone where their playing time is completely contingent on how healthy the people in front of them are. So that's why I'm like, I'd lean towards maybe, for what I see that role being right now, you have to go get a veteran. But I wouldn't be opposed to grabbing a guy to the championship, you know, and as the season comes along and, you know, there's a little bit more clear roles and definitions. All that kind of stuff. I wouldn't mind it. Sure. Like, give someone a shot. All that. Yeah. All right. Any other roster thoughts? I want to keep us trucking for sure.
No, nothing until, let's give it a couple of weeks. I'm sure that something will.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure that I will be panicking on
the 31st. Yeah, because we would have, you know, especially after this very easy start that we have.
It's a lovely start.
So, that being said, speaking of kind of Newcastle and their start, it's an interesting year. Newcastle are going to be playing the most matches that we've seen them play in a while, and certainly for me, I've ever seen them play with Newcastle. Well, not ever, but with Newcastle qualifying for Champions League. That comes with an additional set of matches. There's also that ability to potentially go on a cup run. There's teams like West Ham, who is a good example of this, who, you know, making Europe is not always the best thing, because we've talked about this at length, so we don't really need to go into super detail. But there is that potential that Newcastle take a step back. Now, I will say, I have seen Newcastle so far this season in different previews and stuff, finishing in the top six in by most people's standards, which I thought was interesting. I think, like, ESPN had us at fifth. Athletic might have had us at fifth or sixth. But anyway, seeing a lot of people pushing Newcastle to at least make Europe again next season, potentially Europa, like either Europa or even in some cases another straight up Champions League qualification. So it's interesting to see the national kind of media is all in on Newcastle being a permanent member of the Big Six, and there's still some reservations about, again, I would actually argue, like, a club in a similar spot in terms of, you know, they're investing in and making some good moves and have a good manager, and, like, the team we play this week, Aston Villa. So all that being said, Josh, how do you kind of see Newcastle finishing just in the league, like just league alone? What do you think?
I think it's really tough. I think that's a really tough call because I think that you're going to see teams who have been slowly building and getting better and better every year, like Brentford and Brighton. I think they're going to be better than they were last year.
Oh, you think Brighton's going to be better than they were last year, despite losing their entire midfield?
Oh, well.
I mean, I given their track record, that's not a ridiculous take, but I do want to make note that, like, they did lose, like, their entire midfield. One of which was one of the best players in the World Cup. So, like, yeah, it's a tough one. And
well, okay.
You know, they've got a replacement lined up, but again, like.
Sure. Well, okay, I'll retract. Maybe they won't be better, but they've still got a really good manager in place. Sure. And they won't be worse by leaps and bounds. They'll still be competitive. I think who will be better than they were last year, I think Chelsea is going to be more well sorted out, and it may not show right away, but I think over the long haul, Chelsea's going to finish higher than they did last season.
That's low bar.
I think Everton. Yeah, but it seems like Everton. I think that they're going to pull their head out of their asses.
No, I don't agree. Everton has not been good for multiple seasons, and there hasn't been like any actual improvement. Does that make sense?
I guess I'm just thinking, how could they keep? How could they not?
I mean, like, again, but you're, you know, you're saying like, they'd be better, but like better for them is mid table still. Like when was the last time Everton was like legitimately a top, like, oh, this is a solid top 10 team? And that's like,
well, they think they are
again
here, so
where did they finish? Like, it's like that we're talking a few seasons ago, but I think I'd overall agree with your point. Yeah. Like, I think for me more so is like Newcastle benefited, like, and you Newcastle fans, like, I'm not taking anything away from last season. They benefited from Liverpool and Chelsea being bad, and you know, that was the classic on Liverpool's. I don't even know how we didn't track this. That was like Klopp's seventh season at Liverpool. Obviously that's a whole stat in itself. So who knows if he's going to be around to finish the season out. But again, on paper, Liverpool have a better team than Newcastle. And like
they just spent a ton of money. I've got several friends who are Liverpool supporters, and on more than one occasion, Kloppo complained. He's like, "Well, we can't keep up financially."
Yeah, he complained earlier this summer.
How can we compete financially? You know, and they've outspent Newcastle. I think that's 2 years in a row, right? And I mean, and then for years and years and years before that. So there's nothing. My friend and I will. Well, it's not. You know, it's not Saudi money. Look, it's not the amount of money that you're complaining about anymore. It's where the money comes from. So, and we all know that. I mean, that's a long conversation. Long story short, these teams, they're going to be fine. Like these clubs are going to, they're going to go up a couple spots and go down a couple spots. And at Newcastle, for the first time, like even last year, trepidation was a good word. I had some trepidation last season. I felt like, you know, like, is it all a dream? Are we getting good players? But what is it going to lead to? And no, we're rock solid. Like, we are a top, we're a top 10, we're top 10 side, give or take, depending on how other teams do. And depending on surprise results and injuries, I think we could finish this season as low as eighth. I think that shit could hit the fan and you could see, you know, you could see Arsenal and Chelsea. You could see Manchester United and Manchester City. You know, I think you could see Brighton figure it out and do it. They're not worse by leaps and bounds, as I said. And you know, we could find ourselves sitting in eighth place, worst case scenario. Or you know, they go on a big, great run that is, you know, and they blow some teams away, and then they steal wins from other teams that they might have gotten a draw or a loss from last. You know, who did they lose? I think we could finish as high as fourth, maybe third again. Yeah. Fourth again. So I think it's just a lot of ifs. In the last 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks of the transfer period will have a big to do in it. But also, here's the thing. And I know this is probably on our preseason list of things to go over, but Champions League, I think, plays a huge role in this. And what I can't wrap my mind around, and I've heard several preseason predictions from different Newcastle podcasts and different people have different takes, is Eddie Howe is a practical man. He's a very practical person. And if you were thinking like a Vulcan, if you were just thinking straight logic, straight practical thoughts, you would forsake the Champions League to ensure a higher league finish to make sure you get back to the Champions League, right? Because the you're looking not just at the teams that we play in the group stage, but if we get beyond the group stage and we get into the knockouts, you're playing against some big, big teams. There's no guarantee we're going to win the Champions League. And you can't get back to the Champions League by failing out of it, right? I think you have to win it to guarantee a spot.
Yeah, you got to win it to guarantee a spot back in. But
yeah,
you know, obviously,
yeah. So I think the best. I mean, if you had to divide your resources to ensure the best possible finish for the club overall, like holistically, I'm putting my resources into the league season, and if that means we get knocked out of the Champions League earlier than we'd like to, but get back in next year, was it worth it?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a few things. So I would agree with that, but then like last season is a good example of, I would agree with Eddie Howe and his sort of like MO, but and then you look at last season and yeah, it was like that until like he had to pivot because, oh, well, the goal of finishing, you know, and competing for a European spot became like mid-season. Oh no, we need to hold on to our spot. And like he was able to pivot and publicly address like, okay, no, our goal has changed. Like our goal is to make Champions League. And so, you know, yeah, that's a possibility of like, you know, on the surface level, again, all this depends on the group draw. Like on surface level, like I could definitely see Newcastle, getting out of the group stage, depending on who they are, and maybe making it to the knockouts, and like ultimately that might be the best case scenario because you're kind of, let's say you make it out of the group stage and then you get to the knockouts and you lose, like you probably played almost the bare minimum, besides finishing, I think, dead last, because you can get bumped down to Europa League and have to go through all that and that whole shebang, but. You know, overall, like I kind of agree with you. I think Newcastle easily. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished fourth. I wouldn't be surprised if they missed out on Europe barely. I do think that I assumed, and there and this is like I was thinking of this while you were talking, Josh. But I think for a while up until this conversation here, you talk and then kind of like talking about the teams and realizing. Yeah, the team that I was kind of worried about being a problem this year, like, I don't think they're going to be as much of a problem this year because of XYZ. And, like, you look at all the other teams that were in and around that area. Like, West Ham, as much as they underachieved last season, like, it was on paper still a really solid team that I thought, you know, now that they had played in Europe and gotten used to it, would probably bounce back and be even better. They absolutely wasted the Declan Rice money. And
I think they're in big trouble. I think West Ham are in big, dire trouble.
But, and that's one. And then like, all right, yeah, okay, cool. Other teams that scared me, Brighton, we kind of talked about that of like, I still think coaching-wise, they're fine. I have the same concerns about De Zerbi that I think people had about Eddie Howe going into last season of like, all right, like, yeah, you are a really good coach, but, like, are you still going to be a good coach when people can kind of have already have tape on you and can adopt to what you already are doing? Like, are you going to be able to take that evolutionary next step? And there are some coaches that have been able to do that, and then there's guys like Frank Lampard who, like, no, that was your one season. Like, you had it, and, like, that's fine. So there's a potential with Brighton, and, like, all right, maybe, you know, again – you can trust their recruitment system and all that kind of stuff. Brentford, you know, I'd love to.
I think Thomas Franks is a fantastic coach.
Oh, yes.
I agree with that.
But hear me out.
He's proven that you can't figure him out.
That's not my concern with Brentford. My concern with Brentford is that their best player is missing half the season.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's, you just forget about that. And it's like, yeah, like they are good and they have good players and they have a great coach. But yes, it is much harder to be as good as you are when you don't have your best player who also happens to be your source of goals. So like I see all these names and I'm like, ah, but yeah, but they lost this. And then you look at Newcastle and it's like, well, Newcastle have only gotten better. The only player they lost didn't fit their system, did not look good last season under Eddie Howe. And they replaced him with a guy who seems like he's perfectly molded for the system in Harvey Barnes, who's outscored the guy that he replaced. And then they upgraded their midfield. And it's like they didn't make all the improvements so far that we wanted them to make. But all the improvements that they've made have been actual improvements. Whereas you could question other team signings and whether or not, like, does Tyler Adams improve the Chelsea midfield? Maybe. I don't know. Like, sure. Cool. Doesn't really move the needle that much. But you can tell Newcastle got better. And then I think about Fulham. And, like, the uncertainty of Alexander Mitrovic. Like, where is he going to be? He could go to Tottenham. The rich potentially get richer. And then you look at Tottenham, another team that was in and around the mix. They lost the player that was probably doing the most to keep them relevant.
Their savior.
And it's like they've got a new coach who's unproven, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But, like, it's very, like, the only teams that I feel like I have a solid read that they're going to be actually good teams are Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man U. And, like, I would agree, Chelsea. But, I mean, they just lost. I think it was it. They lost Nkunku for towards ACL. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're losing players, too. And, like, they still.
I think that they're going to look. They're going to look very out of sorts to start the season, but I really do generally, I have confidence that Pochettino is going to sort them out. And then in January, I think they'll bring in the defensive. I think they'll bring in like two or three replacements, and I think Chelsea will be really strong second half.
Oh, and again, 1,000% agree, and they don't have the pressure of European football. They only really have to focus on the league and club cups. But again, like my overarching point is more so like it does feel like right now, similar to last season when we got mid-season, it was like, oh, wow, like there's only really three teams that are better than Newcastle or like in and around the same level as Newcastle. And I think that's going to happen again this season where there's really only like four or five teams that I am like, oh, this might be a toss-up. So that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's in that 4-8 range, but I'm kind of leaning towards Newcastle finishing in fifth. I think fifth. I think they're going to finish in fifth.
And that's pretty much where everyone's putting
I mean, because I think everyone is kind of looking at things holistically. And, like, it's really unfortunate for the teams that made this run last year that, you know, Brentford and Fulham especially, like, they were kind of top 10 and it felt like they hit another gear. And, again, I think people are like, part of that is Chelsea and Liverpool sucked. And you could pick up points against them, all that kind of stuff. But also, like, when you have the uncertainty for both of them of losing, like, the heart and soul of those teams, like, if Fulham lose Mitrovic, like, I don't have faith that they're going to be a good team at all. Like, at all. Mm. Like, they are bad without Mitro. Because a lot of their system is just tailored around him. And they haven't really found another solution at striker. They've tried. But, yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, all right, so that's how league stuff, Europe. So what do you think about Europe? I kind of touched on my thoughts, but I'm curious to hear about your thoughts on Europe.
When's the draw? The draw isn't for, is it the 20th or is it the 31st?
Sure. I mean,
it's we're still a ways out from the draw, so we don't know what the groups are. I think that's going to have a lot to do with it, and also just the mentality. Like, I think what I don't know right now is what Eddie's going to focus on, but I think that you sort of alluded to it, and let me see if I can play it back sort of the way that I heard it, is that Eddie Howe is going to play his best team on the day, right? He's not going to sit anybody. He's not going to sandbag one team to prop up another. He's just going to play his best 11 on the day. And if that means he, you know, goes into a European game and he plays his best 11 that he can that day, maybe they win and maybe they lose. Well, if they win a few more than he thought that they would, I think then he tips the scale. He puts his finger on the scale and says, okay, well, we're going to go in on this. We didn't expect to get this far. but that we have, why stop now? So if they get past the group stages, which there's, it depends on the draw, but there's no reason they couldn't, you know, we have a good team. It just depends on the draw, and it depends on, you know, who shows up on the day. Some, you know, sometimes in cup competitions, Newcastle lays an egg.
That's true.
And this is sort of what I've seen over the last 20 years. So you've got to forgive my cynicism. But when it comes to cup competitions, and of course it's not European Cup, I think they've been in Europe once in the last 20 years. And, you know, it's fun. We'll see. We'll see if they do more than just have fun.
I do think that selection, though, as well,
they can get out of the group stages.
And I think that selection, though, as well, will largely, I mean, that's the other thing that, again, it's why there's so much uncertainty. And like, we'll obviously revisit it once there's the draw and we have the schedule.
Yeah.
Because like, that's the other thing is that, all right, is your Champions League midweek match against, you know, Celtic, which, you know, that, maybe that's not a great example, but I'm like, is it against, is it against a Shakhtar Donetsk? That's the Ukrainian team. Yeah.
Do you have to fly into a war zone, or do you just get to go north?
I'm saying that's a team. Do you feel you can beat that team comfortably with Jamal Lascelles playing center back? If your Saturday game is a, you know, not a 6-pointer, but like a 6-pointer at the opposite end of the table, say you're playing Chelsea Saturday. Or it's the reverse of like, you know, you've got a group match against AC Milan, and then, you know, that weekend you're playing Luton Town. It's like, okay, well then you're going to play that stronger team against AC Milan and hope that your reserves and hope that Jamal Lascelles can get it done at the back, and Tino Livramento can get it done at the back with like Dan Byrne playing left back against Luton Town. And you got to hope that you're going to do what you did to bad teams last season and not even give them an opportunity to swing first. Like, you just hit them out. You hit them with a knockout within the first 15 minutes, and it's comfortable for you. And that's like, that's the beauty of Champions League, is that, you know, it can really affect your season for sure, especially like, you know, down the stretch where it's the business end of the season. And, you know, Man U's got to decide whether or not they want to go for securing top four, and who do they play against? Newcastle? And, oh, yeah, by the way, you have to play Barcelona next week in the semifinals of Europa League. And so that's where it gets a little squirrely. But early on, it's like, it's pretty realistic if Newcastle get out of the cup stage. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then speaking of cup matches, I know we have, and, you know, it's obviously Champions League is a different kind of cup, but FA Cup and EFL Cup. Do you think there's going to be another cup run like we saw in the EFL Cup? Or is it going to be early exits like we're used to?
I don't think it'll be insufferably painful early exits like the past. But I think that we may not see the heights of Wembley. I don't know if we'll see a final this year. But I think we could see a quarterfinal or even a semifinal. It just depends on how the fixtures lay out, who ends up, you know, if there's any surprises, you know, if Wrexham shocks, you know, if Wrexham shocks somebody in the Premier League, and then we get to play, you know, we get to play a League Two side, you know, in somewhere along the path, then I think that helps us. But if they stack them up again, we end up playing like, you know, Southampton from the Championship. And then we got to play, you know,
Southampton, then Brighton, and then Liverpool, and it's like, all right, well,
yeah, and there could be a run like that that's just nasty, and there's no way, you know, it's all red teams, and I don't want to play all red teams. That's boring.
I would agree with that. The other point that I'd make is that this is probably the best I've felt about the Newcastle reserve team in a while. Where if you're able to rest and play Sean Longstaff as like an eight with Joe Willock and, you know, Bruno or Tonali as the six, that's like a much better midfield than we've been able to play in cup matches. So yeah. I feel a little less worried about the earlier rounds where we're playing like League Two sides and we can't break them down. And also, we kind of talked about this in last pod, about how it's very evident Newcastle are working on different strategies to play against teams who sit back against them. So I agree with you. I think there's not a real like cup run, you know, cup final appearance, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a semifinals of the EFL Cup or something like that. And, you know, maybe we go a couple rounds in the FA Cup, and that's probably good enough for fans, because again, like if you're on a cup run and you're also in Champions League, like it's a lot of matches. The matches start to add up, and I mean, you know, Klopp complains mm-hmm. about it all the time, but I think a lot of Newcastle fans are going to start to be, you know, Klopp fans once they realize how many more matches you play when your team is good. I mean, there's a reason why Man City has like basically 2.5 starting 11s. In which like every yeah. single one of their players would get in every single team in the league.
Yeah, they can recruit on the strength of that to say, well, you know, you will get playing yeah. time. Look at how much football we play.
Yeah.
And we'll be there soon. We're a season or two seasons away from guaranteeing football regularly to two squads worth of yeah. great players. We just have to get into those competitions regularly and get the money flowing so that we can use that money to build up the roster, you know, horse before the cart, yeah, they say,
for sure. Okay, and then let's hop in real quickly to individual players. You know, so far we've made a couple individual player type awards and predictions. So far we've made a few signings with Harvey Barnes, Tonali, Livermento. I don't think I'm leaving anyone else out. I think that's it so far. It's early on. There could be another signing, but. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure actually last season we did this before we signed Isak as well. So who knows what is mm-hmm. coming out of the horizon? Do you have a best signing kind of that you think is going to be the standout of those three this summer?
I think it's going to be Harvey yeah. Barnes. I think his ability to be a productive member of an offense on a team that got relegated is really, really foreshadows what he can pull off when he's surrounded by talented players. And that's not to say there weren't good players, but a team that is going somewhere, you know, and all the momentum that comes with a great mm-hmm. run and the positive energy that you get from Eddie Howe and from, you know, from having such a great locker room. I think Harvey Barnes is going to be the best signing of the year. I think at the end of you're going to look back and be like, that guy nailed it, because he's already nailing it. He's already got 2 feet in the door. And that's, you know, that's Livermento. I think let's not forget how good he was before his injury yeah. too, though. Right. Like that's a steal to me. That's an absolute steal. I'm less hot on Tonali and I think it's going to take him. Remember, sometimes it takes these guys a whole year, you know, and don't be surprised if he's good. I mean, he's going to be good. I think we got spoiled with Bruno, who came right in and just was like amazing right away. And I just don't think you're always going to get that. You know, we might see a slow introduction, a slow buildup, sort of the way Howe does it. And he gets him into a comfort zone and he plays him into a system. And then I think Tonali would be the player of the year next year.
I think the thing with Tonali, and I would agree with you, I think it's going to be Harvey Barnes, just because the raw numbers are probably going to result in people being like, that was a good signing. Like, you're talking about a guy who has basically had double-digit goal contributions every single season he's played in the Premier League. So, like, if you're getting that production from your winger, especially at Newcastle, where we haven't had that production from wingers basically until last season for a while, and that was, like, Miguel Amarone going on the purple patch of his life. And still, I think Harvey Barnes won that spot is completely open for him. Like there's not really a lot of competition there. Who knows where Anthony Gordon's actually going to fit in with this team. But right now, I think Harvey Barnes, like that is his spot to lose. And I don't know if that means Anthony Gordon's going to be vying for Miguel Amarone or Jacob Murphy's spots or whatever. But right now, it seems like Harvey Barnes is the best player for that position. And so that's going to net him already a leg up on everyone else. Livermento, again, I think he's a baller. I think he's really good, but I just don't see a path for playing time for him unless Newcastle are like, I mean, which could happen. Inverted fullbacks are like all the rage right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if Eddie Howe actually tried this and they start him at left back, and then you kind of are like, oh wow, this guy's. But again, fullbacks don't ever get the love. Like we talked about this. Trippier low key was the a clear favorite for player of the season for Newcastle, but like you didn't think about it until you had to think about, oh wow, yeah, he has been really good this season. And you know, yeah, we're going to talk about fantasy, but he was by and large one of the best fantasy pickups for anyone last season. So yes. So that leaves Tonali, and again, with Tonali, I would agree that it might take him some time, but honestly, I think it's really more about the role that he's going to be playing is one that is likely not going to be that sexy. It's just, you know, Sean Longstaff, again, we were banging on the drum for, you know, half a season, and then maybe midway through this season, Newcastle fans, as he started to miss matches, realized how important he was, and I think that's going to be the same way for Tonali, where it's probably not going to show up on the score sheet, but like, And the unfortunate part is that his backup's really competent, so it may not be as drastic as when we lost Sean Longstaff for matches, but it's just like the way that he's supposed to play within this system is not going to net him like a lot of opportunities to be this like dynamic dynamo type of guy, and maybe we'll see some of his playmaking ability, but it just seems like Harvey Barnes was made to be this high pressing forward that's very direct that Eddie Howe really wants, and so he's going to be successful. All right, and then who do you think is going to be the Golden Boot winner this season?
Well, that's so rough. I think Callum Wilson still got it in him. I think that the key difference between last year and this year is if you think about the run that he was on before the World Cup, and then the World Cup completely sidelined, not just him, but he's pretty much anyone that went. And it took,
especially
it
was, anyone it was on the kind of
like
squad.
A slow restart. Well, yeah. That's in particular, that's what I meant. But yes, for I just felt like he came back and he was kind of a zombie of himself. He was there and he was going through the motions, but just couldn't get it done. I think he has a point to prove. And I think remember that Isak went on a hot run, right? And I think they both got hot at the same time.
And Callum Wilson scored pretty much, I think, 8 or 9 goals in a month. And so,
I think they're going to push each other. And I think Callum Wilson is going to have an 18 goal season.
I want to agree with you, but I'm going to go Isak. I think purely availability. And I think that also, I should have clarified, for Golden Boot, I'm going to go overall goals. Just be across all competitions. I think that's probably the fair way to look at it. But I what we saw from Callum last season was insane with the amount of goals he scored in 1 month. And I think it was March or April. But I also think that like down the line, that's Isak in the future. And I think he's just going to be, I mean, it's not a hot take, but he's going to be good. But I think that like, he already was so good in his first season in the Prem. Given how few times he played, getting to double digit goals is insane, and I think that can't be understated. And I'm like, all right, what does Isak look like now? Because again, he was another guy that it took him a little bit to adjust. I mean, we talked about it. He looked awkward. He looked like a baby gazelle the first few times he played. But then like the second half of the year where he's picking himself off the ground and beating guys off the dribble, like while on the ground and then playing it. He just had like these moments of just like pure brilliance that like, I'm sorry, Callum Wilson never had and probably never will get to. And so I'm like, if Isak makes another leap, like we saw him make from the first half of last season to the second half of last season, I think he's going to be a guy that like ends up being like a consistent 20 plus goal scorer for in the Prem. And unfortunately, like he might be the first guy to leave Newcastle. Like it could be Bruno, but like
Real Madrid, if
Isak puts together back to back 20 goal seasons and stays healthy, be tough. It's gonna be tough.
PSG offers.
I'm gonna say it's gonna be tough to turn down that fat offer. All right. So you've got Wilson. I've got Isak. Who do you have for like kind of a player you think is gonna make a leap, or like one of the young guys you think might make a big leap? Who do you think is going to potentially make a leap?
Anderson. I think he's going to be a young guy that makes a leap. And do we want to talk about how the Howe effect?
Sure. I don't know what that means, but I mean, I know well, what it means, but like, I don't know who you're referring to.
Well, I mean, let's talk about who was somebody 2 years ago that we were ready to throw away, and then Howe came in and basically turned him around, right? So we got big.
Joelinton, you got lunch on Longstaff, Al Marone. So are you Sean trying lunch. To predict who's yeah. next?
Who's the next Howe disciple? Think
it's
who
it's,
walks
it's,
who walks
it's pretty
on water.
Obvious to me that I think Anthony Gordon's going to make a leap this season. Just a lot less pressure off the bat. I mean, being a January signing and then coming from, you know, a club and like just the toxic situation he kind of left, which again, part of that's his own doing. Like, not saying that Everton is a toxic club. Like, you can make your own opinion on that. But I'm saying, like, the situation as a whole, the exit, his relationship with the fans, the board, the coaching staff, like all of that coupled together, and then having that large price tag and being, you know, overpriced and coming to Newcastle and feeling the need to have to score in order to like make it seem like it was worth, like he in preseason already looks like a much more confident player, which is like the hallmark of a Eddie Howe transformation. So I think he is going to make a leap. I think Elliot Anderson is going to make a leap, but I think one player that we're going to look back at the end of the season and be true. Cause again, we're expecting those guys to make leaps, especially with how good Elliot Anderson has been this preseason. Goodness me. Like, he looks really good. I think like I'm buying in the Lewis Miley hype. Like,
oh well,
like it look and it sounds and looks like Eddie Howe is like, no, he's going to be in our midfield rotation. Like, I think Elliot Anderson is like clearly made himself like in that attacking, like kind of like Joe Willock and Joelinton, like attacking and like maybe more attack minded number eight position, and maybe plays out wide as well because he's kind of like this weird cam situation. But I think Lewis Miley might be like the cup match like number six and might be really good at it. Like, he seems very composed, he seems very confident, he kind of looks like how Sean Longstaff was looking in the beginning of the season, where it was like, okay, like I see that you are more comfortable in the ball, which in turn means that like you can be played, that's good. And so that's what I'm thinking. Any other thoughts on that?
No, I think we nailed it. I'm excited to see the young guys. And I think Gordon is the next. I think he's the next Howe factor.
And then this is kind of a, you know, you don't have to answer this, but I mean, I did tell you about it. So is there any match, like, you know, I don't know if you got a chance to look at the table itself, or not the table, but the matches themselves. Is there any match or team, really? You can go team, that you're looking forward to playing?
I think the first Champions League home match, whoever it is one. I think that it's going to send shivers down my spine to watch that. And I'm going to go out of my way. We've got a Toon Army Portland, and they have, they watch matches up at a bar called Goal, G-O-L, on Hawthorne. And I'm going to make my way up there to be with, and that's for me. Yeah, I live in Oregon, but it's about a 45 minute drive from my house to get to that bar, maybe an hour. And but I want to be amongst the Toon Army and supporters for that match. So I'll make that trip. And then I think for me, there's teams that I don't like. There's teams that I just really hope we whoop. But there's games that I look forward to, like good tests. I think hosting Arsenal, hosting Manchester United, hosting Liverpool, we host those three clubs. We host Chelsea all in the first half of the season, right? And that means that the second half of the season we go away. It'll be tough. But, you know, like, you know, the first half of the season is going to kind of be a big one. That'll be fun. So, yeah, I don't think that there's a rivalry here. But, you know, with any of these teams this year, there's just teams I don't like to see, like Everton and Aston Villa. But even then, I'm getting over Aston Villa because they've got a great coach and a good team, and it is what it is. But yeah, Champions League and maybe some of the big teams. How about you? Is there any team or match in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think Champions League is a given for sure. But I am excited for, and this is a big shout out to my guy Eric, NUFC Indiana. I know he's a longtime fan, but he had this tweet earlier that really got me thinking, and I kind of agree with it. He says, unpopular opinion, Howe vs. Emery will be the next great Premier League manager rivalry. I can see both managers staying at their respective clubs for long term. I would love to see them in the same category as Klopp versus Pep and Ferguson versus Wenger. And you know what? That is not at all a bad shout, because I do feel like the Aston Villa Newcastle games are going to be good. Like, I mean, I think there could be a level in which, like, there could be a space in which, or not a level, or there could be a point in which, like, Newcastle starts just, like, severely outspending Aston Villa. But I agree with that take that Eddie Howe and Emery, like, both kind of these sort of, like, everyone acknowledges that they're good managers, but they're not seen as, like, the elite managers in the Premier League as a whole. Like, they're still behind the likes of Arteta and Pep and Klopp and Pochettino and all that kind of jazz. Yeah. Because they – and it, again, it's fair. I mean, maybe not so much for Emery. Like, he's definitely got – the resume already, but it does seem like them, you know, kind of both being considered for the same job, and then both kind of coming in to both their respective teams and improving them tremendously and playing attractive football. Oh, man, I kind of do. I'm all in on, like, making Aston Villa like that kind of rivalry team this season. And their fans aren't too terribly annoying. There is the one Villa watch guy, which kind of also that's fun, is that, like, their fans actually kind of take the piss, and that's fun too. Is like they're fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that to me, the difference there is I can see Unai Emery moving on. I can see Manchester City, when Pep moves on, considering Unai Emery for the job. I know that they've got other pawns on the chess table, you know, in different leagues and even within this league. But, you know, he's the kind of guy that I think City could look at and go, he's really, really good. Let's throw all the money in the world.
Oh, for sure.
Let's bring him.
I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, like, and you know, I think I love the take from NUFC Indiana, Eric. I don't know if they're both, like, I don't know if I necessarily think both are going to stay long-term, but I do think that he's on to something of, like, I do think both of them, when they go up against each other tactically, the matches are going to be some of the more entertaining matches this season. And if we're looking at it in the vacuum of this season or the next couple of seasons, I do think that, like, I'm looking forward to the Villa matches. And partially because I kind of see them, at least for now, at the exact sort of same skill level as Newcastle, where they have a couple, like, really good players. They have a lot of guys who are just, like, good, and they have guys who, like, are really good because their manager has made them look good in whatever system they have, and they seem to be on a similar level in terms of, like, they are clearly better than mid-table, but maybe not to the level that we've seen consistently yet. And again, this is just for now. Like, you can tell they're not like, oh, they're a shoo-in for a Europe spot. Like, not a Europe, but a shoo-in for a Champions League spot. Like, it feels like both of those teams could finish 5-6, 6-7, you know, for the next two seasons. And it wouldn't surprise anyone that they're at the same level.
Yes.
Fair. All right. And then, do you have anything else to add to that one?
No. It was good. It's good.
All right. And then kind of to close out the preview, it's a little bonus one just kind of for the people. Josh, you set this Fantasy Premier League up. Who's the Newcastle sleeper that we need to be make sure everyone has on their team? Like, because we know it's a Newcastle league, so there's going to be Newcastle players.
Yeah. Who do you have on their team? It's going to be heavy. It's going to be heavy. Here's your disadvantage when you're in a Newcastle-heavy league, is that everyone sort of has the same players. So, you know, the difference makers are going to be those people who are willing to go out and grab players from teams you might not like despite the fact that they are going to bring you points. But Kieran Trippier is always a good, he's a good shout for your fantasy team because he gets forward in the attack and can get himself the occasional.
Yeah, he has all the set piece duties in Newcastle right now too. So yeah, that definitely helps.
He definitely. And then I think Harvey Barnes, I'm going to double down. Not only is he going to be the best new signing for the team, I think he's going to be, he's a steal at 6.5 million pounds for your fantasy team. I think he's going to be as productive as Sancho or Bowen or Havertz or Madison. And he costs, you know, a lot less in your midfield than a lot of other midfield players. So I would say go out and get Harvey Barnes and Kieran Trippier.
Sancho, wow.
I've got Wilson on my front line also, because I do believe he's going to get goals, even in games that are tight. I think that the thing about Wilson is he's a winner. You know, he's just, there's something about him. He will find a goal from an angle you didn't expect. He will put in just that extra effort because he fights to win. And he doesn't take not winning very well. He's a poor loser, but he's a fantastic winner. And he's got a grand smile. That is a damn handsome man.
Yeah, he is.
Go get yourself handsome Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good shouts. I'm terrible at fantasy Premier League, so I'm not answering that.
You got to join.
I will join.
Join the league. Increase our numbers.
My goal is to not be in last place.
I think that's fair. I don't think I'm going to win either. There are people out there that really excel at this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just hope to finish. Every week I'm going to just make my moves every week and just attend to my roster. And I think that if you just attend to your roster and you don't fall asleep at the wheel, you could finish pretty high.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. All right. Moving on to, preview of the actual match. You know, maybe this might, you know, who knows how I'll chop this up. This could be, I might do the old make this a two-parter. So we'll see. Just okay. For people to get to the Villa preview. So if this is a two-parter, welcome back to another Association Radio. I probably recorded an intro. So anyway, all right. So let's hop into the Villa preview. We're going to start off, which, I mean, you kind of cross your fingers, but we can talk about injuries to start things off. It's, I don't know. It's very, very odd. Like, obviously Emile Kraft is out, for us, Joe Willock. I'd been wondering why it's been so quiet for him. I did not realize he'd been dealing with a nagging sort of hamstring injury. So I doubt he plays. Mm-hmm. And I know Fabian Scher came off injured during one of the preseason matches. So he's got a hamstring issue that he's attending to as well. But the bigger news is that for Villa, Alex Moreno potentially is probably not playing because he's still nursing a hamstring injury. And then Jacob Ramsey, who was actually one of our key players in the last time we played Villa, he picked up a thigh injury. I think that this happened either during it was right after he got back from the U21s, in which he was playing, of course, with Anthony Gordon. But the big one for them is Emiliano Buendia tore his ACL literally a couple days ago. So that's a massive loss for Aston Villa. One of in the past and certainly now, one of their best attacking players, you know, really high output, just in terms of just production and expected goals, expected assists, all that kind of jazz. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from that. But other than that, everything seems to be the same for them. They've had a pretty solid transfer window. They got Moussa Diaby. They also got Paul Torres from Villarreal. They signed Youri Tielemans on a free. They got Jan Duran back in January, but didn't play much. So I'm curious to see if he's going to be back in the fold for them now. But again, they're kind of very similar to Newcastle. They've only made a couple signings so far, but you can't really argue with any of the signings. Like Youri Tielemans, solid signing for them. Pau Torres, again, also very good signing for them. And then Moussa Diaby, you know, obviously a Newcastle target.
I mean, yeah, he's on our list.
Three signings, but again, three good signings. So so far, there's not really stats. I don't know why I put that on there. So do you want to do history?
Yeah, I just got a little bit of a history. I didn't do the same deep dive. Just from 11 verse 11, the website, we've got 73 wins all time, 39 draws, 59 losses. Most recently, of course, was our 4-0 thrashing of them last year. A brace for Callum and goals for Big Joe and for Miggy, with an asterisk I wrote at the bottom, never mind, their revenge match against us. So, yeah, we can go there and we can win. We could score a bunch of goals as we saw in the preseason. I think this is going to be there's no better expression. This is my favorite expression in all of English football. This is going to be an old ding dong.
Oh, what? I don't even know what that means, but sure.
Oh yeah. It's we would say barn.
Okay.
Burner.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think the history holds, goals.
Yeah. And also, again, I said I was excited for this. So, key players for you, on the Villa side.
Yeah. So they played a 4-2-3-1 in preseason. He may stick with that. I think what we saw in that preseason match, I think Howe was more experimental than Emery
was.
Played
a three at the back, and that Matt Target was playing as like a cam in attack.
I think we were just messing around, right? We're just messing around with configurations and players and maybe to see what kind of relationships and chemistry was there. And I think that he and I probably played this a little bit more closer to reality. So I wouldn't be surprised at a 4-2-3-1 from him with Buendia on the left. And I think with him out, Moussa Diaby should be a big, big player for them. I still think Leon Bailey can play a big role. I know that he wasn't the player that I thought he was last year, but I knew where he came from. I think he came from Belgium. He played for Genk or something like that in Belgium. And
played at Leverkusen for a while. Yeah, he was right. Genk, was and then he was Leverkusen, which is where he kind of claimed to fame. Us FIFA career mode guys definitely know about Leon Bailey. Big vibes in 2018.
It's exactly it. Exactly it. I think he still has a role to play off the bench. And I think that having the likes of Tielemans and Moussa Diaby there now will take the pressure of performance off of him. And I think that he could come off the bench. And I think he could be a sub in threat. And so he's Leon Bailey is sort of my second half player to watch. Watch him come on in the second half. And he's going to be dangerous because he's got nothing to lose.
Okay. Second half player to watch. Wow. I want to throw in
something else.
Throw it in there.
I am not convinced that Keenan Davis or Cam Archer are solid backups for Ollie Watkins. And that could be their Achilles heel. For all the kudos that we give them, like, I don't rate Ollie Watkins as high as I rate Callum Wilson or Isak. And I certainly don't rate their backup center forwards anywhere close to what we've got. And we've only got, you know, so that could be I feel like they're going to go for it all right away. They're going to go for gusto right away. And if we just, you know, if our defense holds tight, you know, we could end up winning this.
Yeah. One. Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think that it's going to be like a 3-2. Well, I mean, we're not going to go into that yet, but I would agree with you. I think, like, you're spot on. I think if Ollie Watkins is playing, I'm always nervous about him. He's always a threat to score. I'm curious to see how Youri Tielemans gets on, back. Because that's the player to watch, just because he was so, how do I put this nicely? Shit for Leicester last season. I'm curious to see how he bounces back, and if that was like he was kind of done there, and it was a fluke season because he'd given up and lost hope and all that kind of jazz, or if like maybe he's actually cooked and like he's reached his peak and he's just not going to be the same Youri Tielemans that we thought he was going to be, and maybe there's less pressure on him to be that same version of himself because he's, you know, there's other midfield players there, but still something that I'm going to be paying attention to is like, how good is Youri Tielemans actually? And I think this season will be the season we find out. All right. Let's hop into, our predictions. Isn't that next? Yeah, I think that's next.
Yeah, it can be. We didn't have a bullet point for it. 3-2 Newcastle
wins. That's what I have. So this is awkward.
Goals.
Well, this rate, we don't need a two-part podcast. So, because that was only like a 7-minute preview. So, we're good. All right. Well, I don't have anything else. You heard a season preview here first. You got us predicting Newcastle in fifth. Josh with Callum Wilson as his Golden Boot winner. I've got Isak as my Golden Boot winner. Most improved. We've got you have basically everyone that, well, I think we're aligned with like Elliot Anderson, Anthony Gordon all making jumps, and then Lewis Miley potentially being a sneaky good player for Newcastle. And then best signing, I think we're both aligned. It's probably going to be Harvey Barnes until Newcastle surprise us and sign Neymar. I don't know. But I think that's it for our preseason predictions. We'll come back and obviously check these out at the end of the year. Again, if you made it this far, you might as well subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Like, actually, if you've made it this far.
And join our fantasy. And get yourself a scarf.
Exactly. Join the fantasy league, all that kind of jazz. That's all I got. I'm pumped for this season, and I'm pumped to be doing it with my guy Josh. That's been an episode of Station Radio. I'm Elijah. That was Josh. Boy, the lads, and I love you guys. I may as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park. If the Gallagher's end of the rain, I'm coming home. And I'm proud to be a Geordie. To live in Geordie land. Some people think we're bawdy and we're hard to understand, and they say it's just self-pity and we're not so very tough, cause the people in the big fat city haven't had it tough as rough. I'm coming home, Newcastle. You can keep your London wine. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll meet for a bottle of the River Tyne. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I wish I'd never been away. I'd kiss the ground for the welcome sound and me mother saying, "Hinny, how we? I'm coming home." And I miss the old blind busker who stands at Fenwick's door. He plays a mean accordion, you've all seen him there before. And I love the Geordie heroes, there's so many famous names like Lindisfarne and Gaza, Brendan Foster and the Gateshead Games. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park, at the Gallagher's end in the rain. I'm coming home, Newcastle. You can keep your London wine. I'll park the streets all day. I'll meet for a bottle of the River Tyne. I'm coming home, Newcastle. I wish I'd never been away. I'd kiss the ground for the welcome sound and me mother saying, "Hinny, how we?" I'm coming home, Newcastle. I might as well have been in jail. I'd walk the streets all day. I'll need for a bottle of your own brown ale. I'm coming home, Newcastle. If you never win the cup again, I'll brave the dark at St. James's Park at the Gallagher's end in the rain. I'm coming home.